This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Kohler, Wisconsin. And we're here with Sean Dortman, resident manager at the American Club, in the inn on Woodlake. I grew up in construction, and to this day I install Kohler toilets and sinks and whatnot. It's been a part of my life, my whole life. But yet, I didn't know anything about the mothership and the headquarters, and even that there was a Kohler, Wisconsin.
Wow.
Yeah, so here we are.
Well, I'm thrilled that you've been a friend to Kohler for a very long time, or fan for a very long time. And if you're in the construction business, you've probably heard our name, but most people don't quite connect that we have these beautiful resorts and hotels. We're definitely known for golf, but I'm most proud of the hotels, which is the part of my daily life.
It's crazy, the world of Kohler. I was in Green Bay not too long ago and staying at the Kohler property there.
Watch Kohler.
And so I'm going for a walk, and I'm way out by the dumpsters, and there are these two giant generators. Mm-hmm. And they say, Kohler generators. And I go, what? Totally miss that. You guys even have that world.
We do. And then our Baker Furniture, our spas, our fitness wellness arm right now, which is really taking off with Bold Cycle, and our culinary, it's just very, very robust. And I think that's what really brings people to Kohler for all those unique experiences.
And then you have the whole design world that's its own world in itself, the art world.
Yeah, we do have an artist and industry program, which we bring in artists, from what I understand, around the world, and they get to use different materials and create something. And that's where our lovely bear, Emmy, out in the front of the Inn on Wood Lake came from.
To kind of sew it all up in my brain, the oh my gosh part of it is this remains a family-owned, direct descendant enterprise.
It does. Yeah. And that's the beauty. I'm a local girl. I grew up in the area, and I've been with the company for 20-plus years.
So as a little girl, you were immersed in the world of Kohler as a resident.
Yes. As a little girl, ironically enough, my grade school girlfriend's father lived in the American Club, which was a men's dorm at the time. So
that must have been the tail end of that incarnation.
It was. But it's a great story, and I can see the beauty it carries with history now.
Let's rewind on the American Club in its first iteration and why it came into being. Kohler decided to house his workers, but went to great lengths. Right?
Yes. It was really, you know, wanting to bring the workers over and having a quality place for the gentlemen to live and work.
And these were, what, 80-90% immigrants, first generation?
First generation gentlemen immigrants. And ultimately, to be able to bring their families here and have a safe, healthy community for their families to be in.
And then the other dynamic is the advanced visionary planning of the community itself by a couple of the top park designers in all of America. I mean, what extraordinary lengths they went to that they did not have to do.
The beautification is very intentional, and maintaining natural beauty. I love the idea that there isn't a building within our village that breaches your view of the horizon, and it still maintains that lovely little charm of a quaint village, although we have all these incredible things going on around us.
And just from an architectural standpoint, it's a delight to look at virtually every structure.
I am not an architectural type person, but I do have great respect, and I appreciate those things that are gentle on the eyes and that there's intent in. And I 100% agree with you. It's just stunning when you drive in, and usually that's a lot of feedback. People are really taken aback that I've heard this is a manufacturing community. Well, surprise and delight, there's a lot of other things here going on.
But again, the fact that in Little Kohler, Wisconsin, it remains a viable manufacturing industry community is incredible. I mean, almost everything's gone overseas,
right,
but not Kohler. I mean, yes, they do have overseas operations, but very much still here. Talk to us about that manufacturing right across the street from
right across the street, but you would never know because of the landscape is done so beautifully. However, if you do come to the village, you can go on a tour of our manufacturing facility.
And so, what do they make over there? Toilets and bathtubs,
yes,
and sinks and
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The essential stuff?
The essential stuff.
Do they do the power generating units here too?
That is just a little outside of the Kohler area, but just a couple miles away.
Interesting. The village of Kohler.
Village of Kohler.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the Kohler family, as they're in the process of establishing their industry and going quite well, for some reason, the Kohler family members decided to transform the American Club into a five-star resort and transform their five-hole golf course into a world championship. What was that all about? Why did they want to go there?
Well, I've been fortunate enough to hear Mr. Kohler periodically tell this story. So there are some high points of the details that I remember. But if I recall Mr. Kohler's story, he had this vision to turn this building into this luxury hotel, and he was met with some significant resistance.
What was the resistance?
I just think people, same as we've talked about, the surprise of coming into a manufacturing village and seeing a luxury hotel.
They questioned whether it would work, right?
Right. So he kept going, I guess, back to the well and representing. And finally, they let him move forward with it, and here we are. Mm-hmm. So his vision, his tenacity is to our benefit in the travel world. So I think he tells it much more fun. There's more humor and a lot more details, but that kind of gives you the gist. It's an interesting story of meeting resistance and being able to overcome that with vision.
And there were some naysayers that knew he was going to fail.
Well, I think assumed he was going to fail.
But in their minds, they thought, let's watch him
crash
on this one.
Exactly. So, fun story.
Yeah. So today, the American Club is a five-diamond, five-star resort, which are very few in all of America.
Correct. We're Forbes and AAA, and so is our spa, which is very unique and very limited globally. So it's quite prestigious.
So that being said, I'm sure, because you're a historic hotel, that you draw people from all over the world that might not know anything about the Kohler world of manufacturing.
That's correct. There are times guests come here and are pleasantly surprised to see that that's where they are. Mm-hmm. And then when they start seeing the Kohler tubs and the Kohler faucets, that's when the light goes on and they start connecting the dots that, oh, this is the same company, which is a fun conversation.
Yeah, it is. So golf. Back in the day, you guys were telling me about a little five-hole golf course that now is going to be the site of a major golf event in 2020.
It is. We are excited. We are already in serious prep mode, and I get a little giggly when I think about that this is going to be in our backyard.
The Ryder Cup 2020. Amazing.
It is. We're really excited. This is big. This is really, really big, and it's right in our backyard, and Whistling Straits is one of the top courses in the world, so this is where it belongs.
That's incredible. Who would imagine?
I think it was all part of the plan.
Interesting. But going way back in the day, the 1850s, when the original patriarch, Mr. Mm-hmm. Kohler, emigrated from Austria, right? Mm-hmm. Who would have guessed? I mean, no way he could have known where it was going to go.
You know, still, I'm always taken aback about this story. And I really hope that they put it in print, all the unique and fun things and how this company and all the arms of it have evolved. It's pretty fascinating. I know that there's plenty that I don't know. Being with the company 20 years, there's still things that I'm learning every single day about how interesting we are.
Very fascinating. What are you most proud of?
Wow. That's a tough one. A lot of people, you know, it's kind of unusual to stay with a company for 20 plus years. And what's important to me is working for a brand that is still invested in the world and quality of product and quality of your work environment and still maintains moving forward. I also love that the Kohler family is approachable. You have a voice. And, you know, what I see is we truly, truly, truly care about our employees and what's going on in the world. So, you know, those are my opinions and the reason I stay so loyal.
So it's family.
It's very family, very family.
And what generation is it now? What's David would be, what, fourth or fifth?
Fourth generation, I believe. I apologize if that's inaccurate. But when you say that, what's interesting is we have employees here who are also third and fourth generation. So that's pretty telling as well.
So it really is a model for American manufacturing potential.
Well, I would have to agree, in my opinion, yes.
Okay, Sean, for further information, where would be the best place for somebody to go to learn more?
I would encourage you to go to the American Club or DestinationKohler.com. You can springboard from there. You can find any way around the restaurants, the golf, the spa, whatever suits your fancy. And then, of course, at Kohler.com, you're going to find everything you need for your bathroom and kitchen as well.
All right. Sean Dortman with Kohler in Kohler, Wisconsin at the American Club. Thank you so much for sharing.
Well, thank you, and thank you for being a veteran. Yeah. We appreciate that and support all that you do.
Thierry Lejeune?
Yes, exactly. You said it correctly.
We are at the American Club in Kohler, Wisconsin.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome. Pleasure having you here.
The interesting backstory of the American Club is that it has everything to do with one family, the Kohler family, as in Kohler toilets, right? Yeah?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. And they came originally from Austria, and that was 1854 when the parents of John Michael took the family over, settled in St. Paul, Minnesota area, and they were a farm family, so they actually started farming there. So
that's my curious question, is here's this immigrant family, comes to Minnesota, 1850s, and then at some point, they transitioned, and how did it evolve to become makers of bathtubs and toilets and whatnot? That's amazing.
It was kind of interesting because then John Michael Kohler, when he was around 18, 19 years old, he left the family and lived in Chicago, and that's when he was starting to work. Well, he had one job as a grocery person, and then, of course, got a job as a traveling salesman for a furniture company. And that was actually something that was really very wonderful for him because it took him up by train that was from Chicago to the northern area up here in Sheboygan. And the reason for that is because Sheboygan had a lot of furniture-making companies. And so the one company, however, that wasn't a furniture-making company was a iron and steel foundry. And that was owned by Jacob Volrath. And there he met his future wife, which was really wonderful. And they got married eventually in 1871. And, of course, he worked in the company for a few years. What he saw in the company was they were making water troughs as part of the farm implements. And so he took a trough eventually, and this was, of course, 10 years later, where he then, of course, they had at the time enamel that was learned how to be making enamel and also adhering it onto raw metal. So eventually, as they moved here in a house that is actually part of the John Michael Kohler Arts Center, where people can go through their house, he had raised their three boys and three girls with Lillian Volrath. Lillian was the daughter of Jacob Volrath. And, of course, then eventually was learning the process, and it was really interesting because he sold this as a bathtub to a farmer. That's the first one that bought this. But, unfortunately, after their sixth child, Lillian passed away. And then, of course, it was a sad moment for John Michael. It was told to me by not only research I did, but also that it was a typical thing. I usually get so many people from all different walks of life that are on my tours, and one of the tours I took was of the people that were retired historians, and they said it was a typical thing for people to remarry into the family, like a brother-in-law or a sister-in-law, if their spouse had died. And that's exactly what John Michael did. He remarried about 4.5 years later to his sister-in-law. And that was, of course, Minnie, who was also a very wonderful lady. And they had one child. That one child was Herb Kohler Sr., the son, the father of John Michael, Herb Kohler Jr. So Herb Kohler Jr. is the one that's still living today. Now, his son, David, is, of course, the president now. So it's all in the family.
Okay, so how does it evolve from making a bathtub to making bathtubs and sinks and toilets?
Oh, Well, I believe because of, and people ask that all the time, in the archives when I was doing research, you know, the information that was given to me was the fact that how Mr. Kohler made his money was through this process of adhering enamel onto raw metal. And it was almost like if you see, you know, you have a clear, you might say, sealant over raw wood. That seals everything, that protects it. That's just like, of course, enamel. Mm-hmm. So it was a really wonderful process, and that was taught in Germany, actually. But that was how this evolved out of this. It grew from, presently now, the Volrath industry is where they make pots and pans that are stainless steel. I'm sure our chefs go there quite often. So that is actually how, over time, it all evolved. Now, the one thing to tell you is that John Michael Kohler wanted to live in not an area where there were a lot of houses and everything. He wanted to be out into, you might say, the country where he came from, actually, in Austria, and to have some clean living, wonderful opportunities, fresh air for not only his family but his workers. And so he bought acreage out here. It used to be called Riverside, and the reason for that is near the side of the Sheboygan River. And then, of course, he built that, and it was starting out 1899 and was completed in 1900. And that's when, eventually, soon later, John Michael Kohler had passed away. Mm-hmm. His then three sons took over, and that was Carl, Walter, I believe, and there was one other, and I'm so
it's
sorry.
Okay.
So, and of course, they took over, but the two sons died prematurely, and of course, Walter Kohler continued it in 1905. He was with himself, only alone, you know, holding the fort, you might say, you know, of the company.
But that's about the time when Kohler, as a manufacturing company, really exploded.
And yes, it was.
Yeah, tell us about how that evolved.
Well, what happened was a lot of people didn't want the Kohler family to build out here because it was very convenient in the city, and they thought, well, we don't have any houses out there and so forth. So it was a wonderful thing because Walter Kohler then eventually, he naturally was happy that the company was built because his plan was get the Olmsted brothers here, create this as a garden village, and then eventually he even went into to see how his workers were living, and that also helped him decide that I want to build a wonderful place for the fellows to have. They can rest, relax, have some good, clean, fun, you know, bowling. In fact, bowling was really popular at that time, just as popular as, of course, football is today. And so he decided to meet with Bruce and Phillip and the architects and build this one wonderful, beautiful building.
It's a giant housing complex.
It is.
It's like
correct.
A big hotel for the workers.
Oh, Tom, yes. And that's what made it so wonderful when the, you know, people that were hired then for foundry work, and that was tough work, were living here and they could just walk across the street. I remember when I first started, the manager, of course, of the American Club had pulled me aside and said, I want to tell you, there is a tunnel that was built underneath the kitchen in the Wisconsin room, and it all went underneath and to the company that they were, that first company that they were working at. And I actually was so happy about that because it would get cold here. However, it was interesting. I had three fellas. Two were from Europe, and then one was from America. They were very elderly, and they came here and were on my tour. And they said, do they still have that tunnel? They said it was the best thing the Kohler family could have done.
Is it still here?
Yes, yes, it is. But it's actually not being used where you can go through it, you know, with the guests or the...
But you could.
Well, I haven't even gone through that. I would love to. It's actually used for pipes coming through the Kohler factory.
So that's the other cool thing is that today, right across the street, is the manufacturing plant.
Yes, yes, definitely. And they do manufacture wonderful things. They have improved over the many years, of course. And like anything, if people want to see some of the new or the old products that they started out with, that would be at the Design Center, and that is in the lower level in the museum. The other thing is the main building, it's actually 2.5 stories, where you can actually see the newest in bathrooms and kitchens. And
what sort of products are they making today here?
Well, they continue improving, of course, the bathtub, the look of the bathtubs, the sinks, They have, of course, the showers are a really big thing. Here at the American Club, there are only showers in the second wing, and of course all the other showers that are also included in the different various wings along with bathtubs are just a favorite. I've heard so many guests say, oh my gosh, what a wonderful thing, these beautiful showers. Who needs, you know, anything more, you know, but they really enjoy it. And then of course they do have, you know, other places that they have taken on. They used to own the furniture company, which actually was Baker Furniture, and then this past July, I believe, they had sold it, but it was since the 1980s. So when you come to the American Club, you can see all the furniture that was by Baker, you know.
And so they evolved into also making power generators, right?
Yes, that was wonderful.
And they still do that today.
Yes, it is wonderful. They had something that was out, I believe it was at the North Pole, but it started after so many years. I mean, it was just wonderful. And also, of course, engines. Now, I have a John Deere that has a Kohler engine, and it is just, it starts up, you know, after not even, you know, using it for quite a while. So I really, those, you know, engines, the generators, just fabulous. Everybody raves about those. I live in a country area, and I know a lot of farmers, and they just can't say enough about those engines.
That's so cool. And it's a wonderful story about an American family-owned corporation that still manufactures in America and didn't send everything overseas.
Yes, yes. In fact, Walter Kohler, that was a beautiful thing that he did, was when he had the American Club built, and that was to instill the American Club, actually, from America. People could say this was kind of a patriotic name because it is in America and so forth. But
because these were all, for the most part, immigrants who just came to America.
Yes, and he wanted them to know that you don't have to be born in America to make something of yourself in America, but be here and do your best and learn and so forth. Walter Kohler not only had just single men, you know, here, because he then built homes for those families. And the one interesting thing was he sold those houses at cost to the families. And you'll notice when you go here and turn around, like on School Street and on your way to Black Wolf Run, on the left you see all these beautiful homes, red brick, all stucco or all wood or a combination. And these homes, many of them still have a one driveway lane in between the two houses, which was actually made and done purposely so that the neighbors could get to know each other and help each other, you know, because they were all in the same situation from a new country, from a different country, in a new country, and do need friends and neighbors and so forth. So that was very smart.
That's really cool.
This was a home for single men from 1918 to 1978, Tom.
And why did they close it? Because it's kind of a shift of where people lived, and you didn't have the preponderance of single men anymore?
Correct. Well, the main thing was because in 1970, two, Herb Kohler Jr. became president, and he realized something must be done. You don't need to have a place where men, you know, are staying. They have houses all around, their apartments and things.
Right.
And of course, a lot of, you know, when people would leave and either get married, things were changing. So he thought, no, we are going to keep this building beautifully, you know, done, very strong base in which to start, made of brick. And he closed the doors for 3 years, 1978 to 1981, and then restored the outside, and then, of course, put it on the Register of Historical Places, very important, and thought, no, I want to continue what my grandfather had started out by wanting this to be a home. Well, he hadn't even known that because he had died before the American Club was built, but Walter, when he had this built, his intention was to have this continue on, you know. And so then he reopened it in 1981. And then decided that he was going to have this as a resort. So it started out a 5-hole golf course for those golfers that are interested in knowing. And then eventually it came to what it was over time.
So today, just to jump to golf,
yes,
you have one of the premier golf courses in America. That's going to be the site of the 2020 Ryder Cup.
Yes.
So that's an evolution.
It is. Yeah. And we're so excited about it because after even being working here and seeing how the PGA is run and so forth, it's going to be an exciting time for me personally and all of our associates to be involved and, you know, help all those that are here for the Ryder Cup. And
you're
so
not going to have any days off. You know that.
No. It's okay. I just love what I do and just love the people. And, of course, I thank so much of the Kohler family. Just give them so much credit for over the many years, starting with John Michael. You know.
Let's jump back to the American Club, because that was the name of this giant building when it was immigrant housing, basically.
Yes.
And today it's still called the American Club, but it's one of the top rated hotel resorts in all of America.
Yes.
It's one of the only 5-star and 5-diamond AAA hotels in America, which is quite rare, quite the exception.
That, you know, and I often tell people, you know, whatever, we're all trained by their wonderful work ethic that they've always believed in and that go through so much training. But also I believe that when you're here and you really put in the effort, you love people, you want to serve them, it's all part of that. If you don't love what you do, then there may be other places to go to then that you may, but here it's a dedication that we all have, and I have to say that, you know, and we should and we do treat our associates just like our guests, you know, that we respect with them and help them out, and teamwork is so important. So definitely it comes around, and then it services the world, those people coming over to visit here. So
very, very cool. And David Kohler, he's still actively involved. How old is he, roughly?
I would think
70, 80, 90?
No.
50, 40, 30?
I would say, well, to me, but he looks like he might be in his later 40s.
Okay.
Is that correct? I mean, he
yeah.
looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was an elf, I would see them with their family at the, you know, Breakfast with Santa, and they have their little children now. I'm sure that they're growing up, you know, very beautifully and over at the Kohler Schools here, and it's nice to see them having that, those years go by.
You know? And again, this is the town of Kohler.
Yes.
And it basically started out almost as a company town, didn't it?
Well, the village of Kohler, it actually was when they had the Olmsted brothers over here. I know when Walter Kohler had gone over to Europe, he actually looked at the various garden villages, and that's what gave him ideas of how to create this.
And a garden village was very much a utopian concept in America at that time.
Correct. And he wanted a lot of beauty to be put here in the beginning to set the stage for what he thought would be a wonderful place for people to live. That started when, of course, John Michael, his father, had begun to put the company here and, of course, bought all the acreage. And that started when, later on, Walter Kohler had the freedom to go ahead and, now, when is the right time to begin? He had to do a lot of research and also work with the Olmsted brothers that were very instrumental in doing, in America, garden villages, you know, and also the knowledge that Walter had about what he had seen in Europe, too, as well.
And didn't the Olmsted brothers do major parks in America?
Yes, they did, you definitely.
Know, I'm thinking of New York and San Francisco.
Correct, and also some universities as well. So they were very instrumental, and, you know, you can actually go around and see some of the beautiful parks that were designed, you know, by the Olmsted brothers, and that's why it was good for him to start out with those that were experienced in creating such a beautiful village. So
that's so cool. Okay. Any other high points, any special stories that are closest to your heart?
Well, I think that what's very wonderful, and I don't want to say this because I would cry so much, but I'm going to take a chance, that it was really heartwarming when Mr. Kohler was out there, you know, Herb Kohler, when we celebrated this building's 100 year anniversary last we had been doing an underground parking lot restoration, so we moved it to August, and Mr. Kohler, Herb Kohler Jr., was out there. All the public was out on the greens right here, and it was one of the hottest summer days, and in the 90s, high 90s, and he had everybody helping, you know, scoop ice cream for everyone, free complimenting all that, and It was so beautiful. And here he was in this suit, black suit. Yeah. That's the thing. He was out there talking to, and I heard, you know, because it had, you know, his voice piped in, and just really complimenting the beautiful immigrants that came over here and then just stayed with the company and did their hard work, mm-hmm. you know, for the foundry. And it was so hot. And I don't believe I saw, you know, the sun was shining on him. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, it was so hot with that sun. But he kept to it, lasted through there, and it was just, anybody would be hot, would just, you know, faint. But he just kept on, and his spirit was just, so I was very impressed, and he was such a dear. So I can't say enough for him, about him. I remember that, you know, and all the other things that, you know, through the years, knowing about the family, you know, all that they tried. Christine Marie, you know, call her one of the daughters of John Michael. She was so instrumental in creating an atmosphere of genuine desire to help the fellows get acclimated to American society, especially those that wanted to become and stay here in America. You know, and then, of course, made a map of the state of Wisconsin. It's now in the Wisconsin Room as a tapestry that was made in 1942. It was just so beautiful to see all the different nationalities where they lived, as well as the Native Americans where they had stayed and so forth, you know, in parts of Wisconsin, you know, all the different treasures of Wisconsin that you can take a look at. So that is very impressive. And then also the other tapestry of the state of Wisconsin's flag. So just wonderful to bring on. Oh, and also naming the Lincoln Room and the Washington Room, two great presidents. They were fabulous. They were humble, and they chose these men because of, you know, their greatness. And there was a quote that Walter had and just loved in Lincoln's speech in 1860 at the Cooper Union Institute. Let us have faith that right makes might, and in that faith, let us to the end dare to do our duty as we understand it. For a long time, I couldn't say that because I'd start to cry. So it still touches my heart. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, a little bit about Jerry. Now, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Des Plaines, Illinois. Had a wonderful set of parents, mom and dad. Every year on, you know, during the summer, my dad would take off 3 weeks, and we go all around America, different sections. One summer it would be, oh, the New England states, try to get there when the color was out and so forth, and other times, other places. Just a beautiful experience. And then, of course, you know, I have one brother and two other sisters, and then myself. You know, I had met my husband one summer. He's now deceased, but it was in the time that I was going to college. It was a summer, and he was in the engineering section, and I was helping the librarian in the engineering library. And that's where I met him. And, you know, it was over the years, about 4 years later after I finished college, because I didn't want to get married until I had my experience dating other fellas, you know, wanted to make sure. But we had gotten married. And then I worked actually for Marilyn Minglin makeup right after her mother had seen me and said, Sherry, would you like to work for my, you know, she was a makeup artist, but I just did that for 1 year until I finally got a job with the county in Washington. And when I was in Illinois, eventually moved up here with my husband because he got transferred. And that was with Washington County. But I was working here starting in 2001. And love it. Oh my gosh, the people, the guests, knowing that the family is the way they are, can't say enough.
You're a member of Leclerc.
Yes,
you're the premier concierge organization in the world.
That's correct. Yeah. Oh yes. Well, you know, and Tom, actually, it started, the idea of Keeper of the Keys, you might say, was when way back in the castle owning times, the idea was that the king and queen would be needing somebody to open up the different doors of rooms that would house different people coming to visit them. So he'd have all these keys on this ring of keys, and he'd open up the doors for them and then be there right for them, whatever they needed and so forth. So that's basically how this took shape then. And then one of the gentlemen in France began the Le Clédor. That's where the French name came from. It's just beautiful, you know, to just know that I can call up any one of the camarades, you know, that I have that are on the Lake Clayton team.
There are very few in America, right? There aren't that many. No. Maybe, what, 400 total?
Yes, I would say around four to 500. Yeah. Yes, 400 to 500, you are correct.
But if you go to any five-star hotel, that's where you're bound to see.
I don't believe all, but most of them, yes, right. Should be. I went to the one in Chicago. I wish I could go for more. It was wonderful to see, though, when I was out there. We went on a boat ride, all of us, and I chose this Segway to do instead of choosing a theater production or something. You know, I love being active, and that was always fun, but it was something to see all the people from all these parts of the world, and so it helped me know what is coming up, you know, the newest things that they're foreseeing. And right now I know I've noticed that people still want so much to have that one-on-one human contact, because it's just not the same. No machine can have the feeling like a person.
Well, Cherry, thank you so much for visiting.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Tom. And anytime, I'm really happy to answer any questions. I invite everybody to come on over. If any time of the year, it's just beautiful.
How would somebody learn more about the American Club?
Definitely. Just go to destinationkohler.com and then click on, you know, events or activities, different, you know, restaurants. The other one is theamericanclub.com as well.
Very cool. And thanks.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
We've been speaking with Cherry Lejeune at the American Club in Kohler, Wisconsin. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.